right. So last week we talked about the needs of men and the wives' role in helping meet those needs. And all week long, it's been the mantra that Sunday is coming, right? Like, the guys weren't getting off the hook. So we're going to deal with women's needs and the guy's role, the husband's role in meeting those needs. If you missed last week's, I'd encourage you to go online and check it out. Matter of fact, we got a new website, and it's awesome. You know, our old website used to frustrate me. New website is cool. So go check that out, and you can find the message on there as well. But essentially, we talked about last week the needs of men and how the ladies are helpers to meet those needs. So today, we're going to talk about the women's needs. Now, last week, we said that the guys' needs was not rocket science. This week, when we're talking about women's needs, I'm going to tell you it is rocket science. You know, Peter commands in the scripture, you know, when we'll read this verse later, but he says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Notice he doesn't say, husbands, understand your wives. I don't think God commands us to do the impossible. So today we're talking about, obviously we said men and women are completely different, right? God made us with differences. He made us wired very differently. We have different needs. And if we don't understand how that we're wired and how we have different needs and how to meet those needs, then it creates a lot of relational friction within the marriage or relationship. And when that friction happens, you can't have a home that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so we want us to move beyond, not that we're going to have perfect marriages ever, but we want to know how to deal with one another, how to communicate with one another, so that our marriages can be about what they're supposed to be about, namely exalting Jesus and putting his glory on display. And so we want marriages that are holy, that are healthy, that honor Christ. And so in order to do that, we got to get some of these ground level issues taken care of so that we can be free to run our marriage towards Jesus, right? And so today, man, I'm going to tell you, it's your responsibility to meet the needs of your wife. It's your responsibility. And some of you, us, have no clue what even those needs are. And so today we're going to help you out. Now, as a precursor, I want to reiterate this. I want to say this every week. I'm going to give you practical things, but this is not a you can't do these things outside of Jesus and the gospel. Like, you, if you're trying to do it from a strength that's not founded in Christ saving you and the Holy Spirit working in you, you're just doing futile work. We meet the needs of our spouse because we rest in the sufficiency of our of the cross of Christ for our salvation and life in Christ. And so it's the only way that we're going to be able to meet the needs of our wife truly and do it very well is when we are grounded on Christ. Right, so you'll hear that strung throughout, but I just want to reiterate. It's not just a how-to message. It's a you got to come to Christ and die message, and we'll hear more of that this morning, all right? Again, the research that we've got a lot of these practical things from are from a book, His Needs, Her Needs, and from a book, Five Love Something. They're all the same. There's a Dr. Roseberg book, and then there's a Dr. Harley book. But anyway, those are a lot of the research here. So five needs I'm going to deal with today. First one I want to deal with is sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. You know, the opening charge to husbands in Ephesians 5 is a clear call to sacrificially, for husbands to sacrificially love their wives. Look at it. Ephesians 5:25. And we skipped this last week. I mentioned it, but I wanted to read it today. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We talked about this last week. This isn't a, oh yeah, I'm willing to die for my wife. That's not what's being talked about here. That's not the kind of love that's talking about here. What the kind of love is talked about here is an everyday dying to yourself love. An everyday dying to our preferences, dying to our rights, dying to our time, dying to our calendars. dying to our selfish pleasures. Marriage in and of itself is a call to die, to constantly die, constantly be dying to self. And this is a truly masculine thing to do. It takes a very strong man to die to yourself. Weak men can fight for their own rights. Weak, cowardly men can argue for what they want and get what they want. It takes a strong man to die to himself, to put the needs of others before himself. The simplest way we see this in the scripture is Jesus on the cross. He goes to the cross, lays down his life for his bride, the church, you, me, us. We see Jesus laying down his life on behalf of his people, for his people, sacrificing himself. You see it again in a servant role when he has the disciples in the upper room and he wraps a towel around his waist and he gets on his hands and knees and washes the feet of his disciples. Jesus serving, Jesus pouring himself out for his disciples. You see him sacrificially loving them, right? Now, men, maybe many of you grew up hearing, stereotypical what it takes to be a man, right? Like, you're a man if you, like, you rule your home with an iron fist, like, right? Like, you're the boss, you make the money, she serves you, she does the cooking, cleaning, and these kinds of things, and she takes care of the kids. It's her job to do that. So you kind of have this thought process that being a man means I'm going to rule this place. It's mine to rule, and it's mine to essentially rule by brute force or overbearing control. And that's just not biblical. Matter of fact, it's sinful and toxic, and it destroys our wives and our families. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody has roles to play in the marriage, but if you're coming to it thinking that you're saying, I'm going to control this thing, and you are trying to rule over or dominate in your marriage, it's going to kill you and your family. You don't see Jesus do that. Jesus bows down and he washes the feet of his disciples. That's not brute force. That's not overbearing control. That's serving others before yourself. That's laying down your life on the cross. So good husbands lead their wives with sacrificial love, following the example of Christ, putting others' needs, wives' needs before themselves. And, a husband that does this, you become aware that no matter how much you lay down for your wife, no matter how much you sacrifice for your wife, it will never compare to how much Jesus sacrificed for you. It will never compare. So we always have this model of Jesus laying down his life for the church. And we always have this model of Jesus serving. We always have this model of Jesus walking in gentleness and humility. Now, he got righteously angry when he needed to towards sin, but never towards those around him. Right? So he's humbly walking. And I love this quote from John Chrysostom. Says, you must offer your own life for her once and every day. And you must not refuse. If you spend a lifetime married to her with countless struggles, enduring suffering on her behalf, with no reward, you still must not refuse. Even if you suffer all this, you have still done not as much as Christ has done for the church. I preached this last week. I'll preach it again. Paul is given the command in Ephesians 5. He's speaking to us. He says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There is no asterisk on the end of that says, if she loves you back or if she reciprocates, or if she deserves it. It says you love your wives as Christ loved the church, even if she doesn't reciprocate, even if she doesn't give love back, even if she doesn't deserve it, you love her all the more. That's a command to you, husbands, to sacrificially love your wives, laying down your own preferences and desires and wants and needs for the sake of meeting hers, even if she doesn't deserve it, especially when she doesn't deserve it. Now, see, you might begin thinking like this might be some kind of begrudging command, like this call on your life that just is weighty, but not if you know Christ. Not if you know Christ. You know, in Matthew 16, Jesus said that those who lose their lives for the sake of Christ find it. This is the beautiful picture of the gospel. And all throughout this, the biblical kingdom is always the way up is down. The way to be exalted is to humble yourself. The way to life is to die. And you want life in your marriage? Die to yourself. Stop fighting for what you think needs to happen for you. Die to it. Die to it. And watch God from those ashes bring forth life in you and in your marriage. Die to yourself for life. So, first one is sacrificial love. Secondly, appreciation. Second need is appreciation. You know, guys, just as women, just as men need to be respected, women need to feel honored and appreciated. They need to be told, that they are honored and appreciated. Think about all your wife does. When I could list up all the things my wife does for me and my family, she's basically superwoman in my eyes, right? Like, the other day when it snowed a little bit, she said, hey, work is canceled. I said, nah, your job's too hard. I will walk to work if I have to. I don't want this job. You know, she just does so much for our family and our for me and for our family. And, your wife is probably like that. And so how we help them or how we meet that need of helping them feel appreciated for the things that they do, honored for the things that they do, is huge. It's big. It's important. First Peter, I mentioned this jokingly at the top, but 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Living in an understanding way includes understanding the needs of your wife and showing them honor and appreciation for all that they do. Do you do that? You know, men, do you honor your wife? Does this encourage you or convict you? Do you show her appreciation, right? Do you tell her the things that she does well and for you, for your family? You know, it's common for husbands to neglect their wife by not telling them that they love and they appreciate what they do. I don't know what it is in me. It's in me too. So if you're like that, I'm with you, right? Because, you know, I think this is difficult for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe I wasn't hugged enough as a kid or something, but I know all that my wife does, and I know the value of telling her those things and appreciating her in those ways. And I believe that, I hold her in great honor and appreciation in my own life, but for whatever reason, man block comes on me, and I just don't ever say it. I don't communicate that. I don't tell her those things. And this is something that we have to fight through. We have to get over. And I, every time I think about how am I doing in this situation, I always step back and kind of look at the situation. And the reason why we don't do it is honestly our own insecurities, our own fear of being vulnerable or putting ourselves out there. But when you look at the situation, you kind of look at how it's going, you kind of say, why do I not tell her these things? It's just me and her. There's no reason for me not to tell her and show her honor and give her appreciation. There's literally no one else in the room. And my wife knows me better than anyone. But yet, it's such a vulnerable thing to say, I love you, I care about you, what you mean to me and our family is ridiculously huge. We got to fight through that and do those things, right? And, I heard this story where, like, this grandpa, he never told the kid's grandmother that he loved her. And he said, hey, why don't you ever tell grandma that you love her? And grandpa says, when we got married, I told her I loved her. And that hasn't changed. And if it changes, I'll let her know. if that describes you, you're about as clueless as a Bama fan in an honors class. This is our culture. People get more mad at that than me telling you roles of husband and wife. Bama fan, I'm leaving this church. We're a basketball school now. Go Vols. So do you show honor to your wife? Do you show her appreciation? Do you? And let me give you four practical ways you can do it. Very practical, very easy, I believe. First one, call or text them during the day just to say you love them. Say, I love you. I did this week. We were going over this sermon in the office. We come to this point and say, I'm going to do this right now. I sent Jen a text, I love you. And immediately I got back, I love you, with 14 exclamation points. And, I told her what I did. She said, man, it meant so much to me that you would, in the middle of the day, out of nowhere, just say, I love you. I'm like, oh, great. How can I schedule these things? Get these automated somehow? There's probably a way. Don't look for it, guys. So send her a call, text or call her in the middle of the day. Secondly, write her a note of encouragement. Listen, writing a note of encouragement, believe it or not, will not kill you. You will live through it. But when you do small things like that, it'll be you who wins the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you do the small things matter. Another thing you can do is help around the house. Y'all have heard that book, Sex Starts in the Kitchen, right? As you have needs. We talked about those last week, sexual intimacy. As you meet the needs of your wife, it only encourages the meeting of your own needs. So do you vacuum and spray off the kids in the bathtub? Just kind of throw shampoo at them. Here. Smell good enough. Smell better than the dog. You're good. How do you do that? Do you serve the family like that? Or you just come home, sit in your throne, and do nothing? How do you do that? And then fourthly, which I think is probably the most important one, use your actual mouth to tell her. As hard as it is for you to muster up, and I don't know why it's so difficult. It's difficult in me. I confess that to you. It's not easy for me. For whatever reason, I don't know why. But, I think things, I'm like, I'm going to tell her that. And there's like this inner battle within me on whether I'm going to do it or not. And it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense to me. I even laugh at myself. I'm like, I don't understand why there's this inner turmoil on this. But you can do it, and you need to tell her. You need to tell her, you appreciate all that she is, all that she does. You need to tell her how beautiful she is. You need to compliment her physical bodies. You need to tell her how attracted to her that you are. It builds her self-esteem, right? She needs to know that she still floats your boat, She needs to know those things. She needs to be told by you those things. A matter of fact, I'm going to read to you Song of Solomon 7:1-9. And, if you've got small children in here, you might want to put earmuffs on them. We've got a great kids ministry. but don't get mad at me. This is the Bible. Get mad at the Bible. Song of Solomon 7, 1 through 9. This is a married couple, a man speaking to his wife. He says, "How beautiful are your feet in the sandals, O noble daughter. Your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of a master hand. Your navel is the rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are pools in Heshbon and by the gate of Bath-Rabim. Your nose is like a tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel, and your flowing locks are like purple. A king is held captive in the tresses. How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I say, I will climb the palm tree and lay hold of its fruit." It's the Bible. Some of you men, first time praising God. I'll raise holy hands now, God. "Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine." Obviously, this is a married couple. This is not to be done among couples that aren't married. He's verbally affirming her body, praising and saying how much he's attracted to her. And guys, I suggest you do this. I suggest that you tell your wife how good she looks. Now, you shouldn't say some of these things. Let me be very clear on that. You should never say that your wife's belly is a heap of anything. or that her breasts are two furry animals. But there are ways that are culturally appropriate for you to compliment your wife and to tell her how beautiful she is. The point is, he recognizes her beauty. You know, most women, many women, have some kind of insecurity about their body. And oftentimes it's due to a culture that constantly parades false beauty in front of us. And so, husbands, it's your responsibility to feed your wife confidence, to let her know that that she is your standard of beauty, that she is the one that you are attracted to. And how's she going to know unless you tell her? You need to tell her. And when you tell her, look at the response here. Song of Solomon 7, 11 through 12. "Come, my beloved," this is the wife talking, "let us go out into the fields and lodge in the villages. Let us go out early in the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love." I don't think I need to spell that out for you. As you meet her needs, she meets your needs. Y'all, it's this, I told you this last week, you got to be the first one to move. And even if your needs don't get met, you're not doing it and say, "Oh, I've done this for you, you need to do this for me." That's not how it works. You die to yourself and you meet their needs. You be the first one to move. You be the first one to move. And obviously the husband was verbally generous to his wife, complimenting her. The result is she's physically generous to him, and they're rejoicing together and worshiping God and each other's needs being met. So this is a need. This is, you have to tell your wife and appreciate and honor your wife. All aspects of what she does, who she is, how she looks, how you're attracted to her. You got to pour those things on her. Third need is conversation. Conversation. Men, your wife needs conversation. You know, men are different. We come around, get together, we grunt, we know what we're, we got that covered. We can translate that, right? Bunch of guys gets together, like, oh, cool, good. He had a good week. You know, like, women don't communicate the way we do, right? If you come in and grunt, they're like, what's wrong with him? Nothing's wrong with me. I said, what's up? How you doing? Your wife needs conversation. It's the way they were created to be. They're obviously better at it than us, but it's the way they were created, right? Studies have proven that female babies move their lips hundreds of times more than male babies. That there's a Harvard study that says 100% of the noises that come from little girls' mouths are in context with conversation, and only about 68% of the noises from boys' mouth are about conversation. The other percentages was about making noises about animals and trucks, you know, machines. On average, women speak 12,000 more words a day than men. And that's probably being conservative. This is the way God created women to be. They like and need conversation. You know, therefore, men, in order for you to serve your wife and meet her needs, you have to have conversation with her. You have to make conversation a top priority. Now, this is what men do. Men get into these scenarios and we try to fix things. We don't do, you know, we don't do conversation unless it ends in something being accomplished. There's a goal we're meeting. There's something at the end of this thing that we have figured out and we can fix the problem, right? That's not necessarily what your wife needs when she comes to you for conversation. She just really wants to talk with you, right? And really, she might even get frustrated if you're just trying to solve a problem. She's not looking for an answer. She's just looking for the depth that comes from conversation. You know, there's depth there. There's vulnerability there. There's connection there when you're just having conversation. And so, you know, we as men have to be a people that step into that. That have conversation, that listen, and not just try to fix problems, right? To illustrate this, I've got a good video I want you to watch real quick. So check out this video.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing—
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like, there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow! Oh,
come on. Ow. If you would just—
Don't!
This is a great video to illustrate. Essentially, every time us guys sit down and we talk about, we have conversation, we're looking for stuff to fix. That's what we do. And though things aren't as obvious as a nail in someone's forehead, that can be very frustrating to conversation. And so we have to be, guys, press into the needs of our wife, namely to have conversation, to be have deep conversation too, not just about tasks or things to do or duties to do, but things that we, you know, we care about. Ask about your wife's soul, you know, like what's going on in her soul. Like Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Like, how are you looking to the interests of your wife? How are you caring about what she cares about or stepping into what she wants to hear from you, right? Like, how are you doing that, right? And obviously, you know, I believe in you. You can have these conversations. Your homework is to go to, like, Starbucks or, you know, out to eat or something like that. First of all, if your date nights are only movies, you've got issues, right? You need to have some date nights where you sit across the table from one another and talk to one another. Phones away, talking to one another. Right? Having conversation with one another. It's a need that she has and you have, even though you don't really want to realize it. But I think you'll start seeing some of that. But you need to step into that. Okay? So conversation is a big one. Fourthly, affection. Affection. Song of Solomon 1 verse 2 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. I heard a story about a woman who wasn't feeling well, and her husband took her to the doctor, and, you know, he ran a bunch of tests, and, you know, they couldn't find anything physically wrong with her. And the husband says, yeah, but she's always down, she's always depressed, and so the doctor comes over to the wife and gives her just a big hug, and then gives her a big kiss, and then looks at the husband and says, she needs that. This is the prescription. She needs that 3 times a week. The husband says, great, I'll bring her Tuesday, Thursday. But I play golf on Saturday, so. Listen, husbands, your wife needs affection. And not just when you're trying to get it to lead somewhere. She needs you to hold her, hug her, kiss her, hold her hand. You know, just touch. I mean, you're physical touch people. A lot of men are physical touch people anyway. But you need to do it when it's, you know, at all times of the day, when you're not trying to get up to lead somewhere particularly. How are you showing your wife affection? You know, you might say, well, I'm not a very romantic guy. That's fine. You also don't have to be a selfish lug nut. You can show your wife the affection she needs. And I think you can do this. You know, men every year spend hundreds of dollars on golf lessons, new clubs, and playing the game trying to get better. Why would you not spend time trying to get better at showing your wife affection? It's far more beneficial to you in your marriage. But you need to show your wife affection. And the last need that I want to spend some time on is spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership. Every wife has a need for spiritual leadership. Oftentimes when I counsel women in marriages, one of the constant things that is brought to me is they weep and they long for their husbands to be the spiritual leader of the family, and they're not. Why do women want this? Because this is the way we were created to be. Look at Ephesians 5:23, and I read this last week, but I want to reiterate it again this week, where it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. God has placed the responsibility of spiritually leading your wife and your family on you and you alone. This responsibility in a marriage, husband-wife marriage, this responsibility is not put on her. It's your responsibility to lead your family spiritually. It's your responsibility to present your wife unto the Lord as washed in the water of the word, presenting her as a spotless bride unto Christ. Your job, husband, is to do that. Your job is to disciple your children. It ultimately falls to you. And this is a need that of your wife for you to come in and be that spiritual leader. Stop being a bump on the log, sitting in your recliner, doing nothing. Lead your families. Lead them spiritually. It's your job. It meets the need of your wife and your family. It's not her job. It's your job. She needs this from you. Your children need this from you. It's not her job. It's also not the church's job. The culture for years has been, well, I'm going to take my family to church and it's their job. No, it's not. You can do it. We want to equip you to do it. We're going to help you do it. Absolutely. But ultimately, you will be held accountable for how you spiritually led your family. You will be. You will stand in the presence of God and you will give an account on how you spiritually led your family or did not. It's your job. And you will not be able to say that. My pastor didn't tell me. I didn't know. Oh, you know. It's your job to spiritually lead your family. So until, and I think this is the way God has designed it to be. We see that in Ephesians 5. And until you accept that role and responsibility, your marriage will not be all that it could be or should be. It won't be. I want to give you three ways to do this. Because, I want you to win here. I want you to win here. Three ways. First one is that you love Jesus and be with him. You can't lead a people where you aren't going. Do you value your time with Jesus? Do you spend time with Jesus? Do you read your Bible and pray? You aren't going to be able to lead your family spiritually if your soul is a desert wasteland. How are you connecting with Christ? How are you spending time with Jesus? How are you reading your Bibles and studying the scriptures? How are you doing that? Is work a higher priority for you than your relationship with Jesus? If it is, you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground. Secondly, I think faithful attendance to church. I think you leading your families to be here, to sit under the preaching of God's word, to sing and pray. Let your wife and your children see you sing and pray. To see you hear the word of God and be changed. To see you serve the church and the body. You be here. You lead. If your family's not here, it's your fault. Oh, we were too tired. No, that falls on you. You're the leader. The scripture says don't neglect meeting together. Make it a priority. Put it at the forefront of your week. It's high importance. Thirdly, I think family worship. This, you know, we've been walking through how to read, pray, sing. We as a church have equipped you to be able to read, pray, sing. We've made it, basically, outside of me coming to your house and doing it for you, as easy as it possibly could be. We put out for you family devotionals. There's scripture for you to read. We even give you scripture to read. You know, we give you the songs that you pull up on the app or the website and you play, and someone who can sing sings for you. Now, you need to sing with them. You just need to turn it up a little higher than you. All right, it'll help you out. And you pray. In all, that would take 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Put it as a priority in your life to do this. We're going to read, pray, sing, barring, you know, something crazy happening in our night, but we're going to do this every night we're together at home. We're going to read, pray, sing together every night that we can. not legalistic about it, but man, a priority that we're going to do this. We're going to read, pray, sing. Now, think, husbands, think. When your wife and your children see a man who loves Jesus and spends time with him, who has being at church as a priority for you and your family, and who leads his family in reading and praying and singing, reading the scripture, and praying and singing with them, what do you think your family thinks your highest priority would be? It'd be Jesus. It's not going to be work. It's not going to be some sports team or hobby. They're going to see how my dad loves Jesus. There'll be no question when your children grow up and they begin to find faith on their own. There's going to be no question. When they look at the lives of their dad and say, what did he love? He loved Jesus. Sure, he loved other things too, but the highest thing to him was Jesus. That's how you're supposed to lead your family. There should be no doubt in anyone that is under your leadership who you love most. They need a spiritual leader. They need a spiritual leader. It's your job to do that. Now, man, hear me. I'm so proud of where we've come. I'm so proud of where we've come. Because I know there's many of you that are doing this. You know, your family, you're doing family worship. You're pressing into Christ and knowing Jesus. You're part of Bible studies. You're doing a lot of this. And I'm proud of where we've come. But I want to continue to press us to go closer to Jesus, further with Christ. Now, I know there's some of you who maybe got on the family worship train and then jumped off, or maybe you never got on because you got discouraged with it. Let me just speak a little word of encouragement to you. I don't know what your expectations on family worship is, but if everyone comes out of mine alive, I think we've won. And that's it's been close to not happening several times. Literally, you know, if your expectation is, hey, I'm going to read, pray, sing, and all my kids are going to sit there real, you know, sharp and attentive, and everybody's going to start like levitating and glowing because the presence of God is going to be there, you need to get a different expectation. You know, when we do it in my house, I pause the song at least 3 times just to whip kids. So I do read, pray, sing, and discipline. No, it's you know, we get through it, but and there are nights that it's tough to get through. Ask my wife. She will tell you. There are times I look at her and I'm like, I don't know why we're doing this. Just go to bed. Everybody go to bed. But what your family is going to see and what your children are going to see over being consistent and pressing into it, even when it's not easy, even when it's difficult, they're going to say, my dad wants me to know Jesus because he loves Jesus most. That's the kind of leader your wife needs. That's the kind of leader your children need. They need a man that there is no doubt that you love Christ most. No doubt. And I believe in you. I think we can get there. We've grown so much. I think we can keep going and getting there. I'm growing in that too. I'm with you growing in that. I haven't arrived anywhere. I'm growing with you and getting there myself. And all of this is a dependency upon Jesus to get us there. We depend upon him. We rely upon him. We trust in the sufficiency of the scripture. We press into the fact that he saved us by his grace and his work and his mercy. Therefore, we can be servants of all. We can sacrifice and have a sacrificial love. We can die to ourselves, putting our spouse and our families before ourselves. And we can lead as we're called to lead. That all comes out of relationship with Christ. I believe in you. I think you can do it. I know you can do it. You got to understand that this is what God wants from you and step into it. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We need you. When we talk about dying to ourselves, we can't get there in our own power. We need your help by the power of your Holy Spirit to continue to die to ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow you. I pray for the husbands, the men in the room that are spiritual leaders, that are responsible with meeting the needs of their spouse. I pray, God, that you would just bring hope, encouragement, and conviction to set them on mission to serve, to love, to lead. Jesus, we need you. We want Christ to be the banner of our lives and our homes and our hearts and our families. We want it to be very clear that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, Father, whatever sin and distraction, selfish desires that want to come in and crowd that out, would you rip them out of our hearts? We need you. We need you. I pray that you would embolden the men, encourage them, give them the strength to go, to lead, to serve, to die. Help us, Father. Help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.